Dog Days listeners and Dog Days podcasters. This is Chuck Tomasi from Chuck Chat Freestyle coming to you from Dragon Con 2017 in Atlanta, Georgia. I am checked into the hotel room. Craig and I are enjoying a nice, relaxing evening at the end of our night. It has been a long, long day. Apparently, I got up at 4 a.m., 4:30 a.m., grabbed some cereal out of the cupboard while Donna was still sleeping, ate my breakfast, packed up my stuff, summoned an Uber, and left. And in my haste, I did not notice that our cat, Holly, had wandered into our little food pantry closet. She had been there for about 6 hours. I received a text hours and hours later, and Donna said, Holly was locked in the closet. And at first I thought she meant the hall closet. I said, I haven't been in there in days. How'd she get in there? And she said, did you eat breakfast cereal? And I went, oh, that closet. Yeah, that one. So she must have snuck in while I was not looking. And, well, cats do that. They survive. She's all good. Yeah. Got to the Phoenix airport. Had a nice ride with an Uber driver, former guy who lived in Frankfurt, Germany. Rolf Hendrickson lives not too far from me. Sometimes it's a bit of a hit and miss when you try to summon an Uber in the wee dark hours of the day. But he was there in just a few minutes, and we got going, and everything worked out all right. He got me there safely. And actually, he gave me his card and said, you know, it costs you $25-$26 to get to the airport. If you just call me direct, I can get you there for 20. Well, that's an interesting little side proposition. Cheaper for me, a little more money in his pocket. I'll have to consider that. But I don't know if I summon him at... First of all, I don't really feel comfortable calling someone at 4:30 in the morning. Hey, Rolf! I'm still sleeping. He said he's always up early. But I don't know if he's already at the airport and then I'd have to wait 20-25 minutes for him to come back. That's probably not going to work. So I'll stick with the system for now because most of my Uber experience is on the company dime anyway, which is still far, far cheaper than a taxi ride. And nicer people, generally cooler people doing that. Got to Atlanta all in one piece. Had some work done on the app that I'm working on for PIY. Learned some things while I was on the plane. Front row seat, because I had a checked bag. All I had was my backpack, and there was a front row number one aisle seat was available. Two girls were sitting there in the middle and window seat. So I said, anyone sitting here? I said, nope. So I took it, and it was a great ride. Lots of leg room all the way up to the bulkhead. Plenty of snacks, which was good because I was starving after only eating that bowl of cereal. And made it just fine. When we got to the MARTA, since I was the first one off the plane, I got down to the luggage carousel nice and lickety-split fast and waited. And luggage was coming out, but none of it had my flight number on it. And luggage was coming out, and then it stopped. And waited. And Craig and I were messaging back and forth. He said, I'm 30 minutes out. I'm 15 minutes out. I'm just around the corner from the hotel. And traffic down in downtown Atlanta for Dragon Con on Peachtree was a regular old mess. So finally got my bag, and while I was waiting, Clinton said, oh, by the way, the blue cards don't work anymore on the MARTA, the blue Breeze cards. Breeze is their Metro Pass. And I'd been carrying this thing around for years and years and just recharging it every time I came to Atlanta. Blue ones don't work. The silver ones are now the thing to use. So $2 on that, which is a bummer. But, hey, keep the economy going, I guess. I don't know if their RFIDs expired or they need to do a software upgrade somewhere. But got my new MARTA ticket. We got our badges, which is a nice, fast, seamless process, as always. They've certainly improved that from days of old where you'd wait for hours and hours in line. We then grabbed some food at Gibney's, traditional thing. Some fish and chips, some burgers. The service started out, it was really kind of empty when we got there. In fact, the waitress sat down in our booth. Crazy Joe was there waiting for us. So Craig and I met him, and then we were later joined by Clinton, and Gary Lindros showed up. Oh, and Clinton's wife also was there. Bonnie. Wow, I'm really tired. Can't remember Bonnie's name. Sorry about that, Clinton. I pulled a Michael Butler on you. We had a nice dinner, but it was kind of slow. She'd come and ask us for our drinks, and 20 minutes later, you get your drinks. Then Clinton and Bonnie and Gary joined us, and they were asked for drinks, but never given a menu to order food. And it was just, as it got busier, it got even slower. And we didn't really see our waitress, Sam, much after that. So by the time I had got my fish and chips, the chips were cold, fish was eh, Craig's sandwich was cold, and then we finished our food, and then the other food showed up. So it was almost like we were eating two meals. But we were socializing, having a lot of fun, laughing at all kinds of stories, and this is what we come to DragonCon for, to hang out with people, laugh, and have a good time. We did go over to the podcast room and checked it out. It's not the easiest thing to find, so if you are at DragonCon, go to the Hilton. You can't get there from the old way, as we discovered, where the old little sandwich shop and escalators were is now an open area, and that's the registration desk. Seems really funny. You come in that corner door, and it's all changed around. So you have to go to the back. So you go to the main lobby, which looks beautiful now, no more ugly carpet. You take a right. In the back, you have the stairs that used to go down to the gaming area. You can either go down the stairs, or you have to look to the side to find a very skinny escalator. The down escalator will take you right to Galleria 6. So once you're at the bottom, it's right there. Nice big room. Once we're in there, they had good lighting. The microphone setup was great. We're looking forward to doing our live show. We got our stuff squared away in there, said hi to Brian and Charles and all the regulars. They hung up a sign. They had a sponsorship sign. It said, hey, and sign your name too. So I was the first to grab a marker and put a big old John Hancock on that thing. Everybody was like, whoa! Well, someone's got to ruin it for the rest of us, so I did. And because that's what I'll do if I have a pen or a microphone. We also decided to get some clips for tomorrow night's live show. So we went back to the Marriott where people were cosplaying, and I talked to a bunch of people. They were really great. Got about 7 or 8 clips of people, everything from the little girl who was the first zombie you encounter in The Walking Dead to Popeye. These people were a lot of fun. The only one that wouldn't play along is a guy who was doing Ozzy Osbourne. The look was right, but he couldn't do the voice, and he didn't want to play along, so we let him go. We even got a Dalek into the act, but I'll save that for the live show, and you can watch it on YouTube when that comes out. A lot of fun with that. We got those clips done, and then we said parted ways with Clinton and went to pick up the stuff from Craig's truck. And as we were there, Paul, one of the guys who's joining us as Zoidberg in the parade on Saturday, said, hey, I need my wristband. Well, I'd already picked up the wristbands. That was kind of fun when we got our badges. Just walk up to the desk, and they know who we are, and we know who they are. And JP, the parade coordinator, was kind enough to pull this out. They don't need to ask our name. We don't need to sign anything. It's like we're old friends, and we've been doing this forever, and it's only been a few years. But it's all fun. As big as this con is, it feels like family when you get here. At least when I get here, it's always fun. We met up with Paul, but we also met up with, what's the new Fry guy's name?
Kyle.
And some of their friends were hanging out. They were in the little courtyard area above the food cafe with the skylights and the flags. If you've ever been here, you kind of know where it is, just off Peachtree Street. And we hung out with them for about 20 minutes and laughed and talked about Futurama and had a grand old time showing stories. They, back in 2011, they had some pretty awesome costumes. They had a Kip and a Zap Brannigan and a Leela. And it just went on. They had a Wormstrom to go with their Farnsworth. It was awesome. I wish half these people were around. I said, where are they now? They said, well, they all had kids and won't come anymore. It's like, oh, man, we need these people back. So hopefully we can grow this group. It's slowly growing, and we're having a good time. If we had 20 fries in there, at some point, I would be ecstatic. This is just fun, fun, fun. So that has been our evening. This is my dog days. I mentioned last night that I am out of C&D stories, officially from the printouts. So I will give you one last one. Since this is August 31st, I'm going to give you the summary. I got you up to the engagement last night, so sort of our finishing summer, fall semester, up to engagement, which was December of 87. In January of 87, I got my first out-of-college professional job as a software developer at a company called Plexus, which was based out of Neenah, Wisconsin. And they made one of the branches of the company made privately owned pay telephones. And my job was to write the PC software that would communicate with these telephones, either dial out or take the incoming calls. There were smart telephones. It was actually called a smartphone. And they were upgrading from smartphone 2 to smartphone 3. And it's not the smartphones you think of today that you hold in your hand and they have a nice touch screen. These were pay telephones that had some intelligence on them. And I wrote the software that the people who owned these, they put them at bowling alleys and gas stations and you name it, back when pay telephones were a thing. And I wrote the PC software for that. Well, I started that job January 11th, 1988. And throughout those winter months, I was living with my brother in his duplex, paid him rent. I moved to Appleton with a whole $64 to my name and a debt to my dad for a car for about $2,000, I think it was. And I needed to buy a home computer because I wanted to start up my own bulletin board. And took out a second loan from him. He's very gracious to be able to do that. He knew that I had a solid paying job. Every weekend, my brother and or I would drive up to Marquette, Michigan, because now I've got a wedding to plan. And Donna and I would make plans. It was good to see her on the weekends. We would hang out. She was living with the volleyball girls that I mentioned in last night's show. And we did this throughout the spring and summer months. And then in the summer, I rented an apartment and she moved down to Appleton so we could finish this off. We got our wedding all pretty much squared away, but about a month or two before we actually got married, she moved down and rented an apartment that was in the same building complex as my brother owned. So it was real easy. I just called up the Cedar Place Apartments in Appleton. I said, "Hi, this is Chuck Tomasi." She goes, "Oh yeah, your brother used to rent apartment K11 and we were in K16 and she knew him and he was good with his rent and took care of the place. So we moved into there and we lived there for a couple of years, but we needed to finish planning the wedding. We got married in Marquette, Michigan at St. Peter's Cathedral on October 8th. So that was 18 months after we had went on our first date. So it's about 8 or 9 months to get engaged and about 8 or 9, 10 months until we got married, which seems really quick in today's age. I'm not sure that if, say, Lisa met a man today, that in 18 months they'd be married, how I would feel about that rapid, accelerated relationship. But everybody supported us. They must have seen something that that we had, and it's worked out well. I feel like arguing with us, Peanut Gallery Craig says from the back. And the rest, as they say, is history. We have been happily married for coming up on 29 years this October, soon to be 30. I have plans for my topic for next year. Actually, I have a couple ideas, but one has been standing more firmly than the other. I jot these ideas down in Evernote, and we'll see what comes up when we get to, probably about mid to late July next year. See if I have enough to pull together 30, 31 days of Dog Days of Podcasting. Tomorrow night is our live show, so we've got some video to do and the rest of the show to produce. Looking forward to that, and I will talk to you after that show is done. Until then, thanks, have fun, take care, keep listening, because tomorrow is the next square on the calendar.